Fresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Hey, Brevard County, this is Bob Arthurs from Merritt Assembly of God. We are taking the week of Thanksgiving off from doing a daily program here, and we are going to rebroadcast some previous Thanksgiving programs Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week. And so we're going to be joining those programs in progress here in just a moment. Wanted to let you know I will be back, and I will see you on the other side. Have a happy Thanksgiving. And we'll see you next week. God bless. And we want to thank you for making us part of your day. Just remember, we do not have our Wednesday night service tonight. We will be having services on Sunday morning. And then we'll be taking that Sunday night off as well. So thank God for everything he has done. We are working on being a very thankful people at this point in time. And we are going through Psalm 118 here, and we're going to finish that up today. So if we can be of any help to you, be a blessing to you in any way, contact us at 321-454-4263 or at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. You can like us on the Facebook page keep up with some of the things that are going on. I haven't mentioned this, but my daughter posts little video clips of what is taking place at our church, services that are taking place, and so that gives you a little bit of an idea of some of the things that are going on at Merritt Assembly of God. We've already got some wonderful things planned for 2017, and so we are making the most of every opportunity, as God has said in his word. So let's go to Psalm 118 today as we discover a few more things to be thankful for. On yesterday's program, we were reminded about trusting, that we can be thankful that God is a trustworthy God. We can be thankful that even though we've been attacked, we've been helped by God and strengthened by God, and that he has given us a reason to rejoice, and he is the author of our salvation. Today we are going to be in verse number 19, and it says there, "Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them and praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord and has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." So I've got written down here today from verse number 19, Psalm 118, verse 19, "Open to me the gates of righteousness, I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter." So I've got down here, praise God for open doors. Praise God for open doors. I don't know if you've ever tried to push down a door before in a figurative sense, but I have. When my wife and I were married for the first 2 years of our marriage, we were looking for that open door of ministry. And when I tell you that I have the gift of stubborn, I mean it in a positive sense, and that is, when I believe that God has called me to do something, I'm not going to let opposition stop me from accomplishing that goal. And we believe called into ministry. I had had people that told me that I was worthless and I would never make it in the ministry. They did not have the gift of encouragement and edification. I had people who told me, well, if God's called you, he will open a door, but I'm not going to help you to open that door. And so that was quite edifying. We sent out roughly 200 resumes all across the country. We sent resumes to Alaska. We sent resumes to North Dakota, literally 10 miles south of the Canadian border. We sent resumes all over the place, and in 2 years we got no response. And during that entire time, for 22 months we did not receive, 23 months we did not receive any positive feedback. We did go on a couple of interviews. We got hired at one church, and then we discovered that my wife was pregnant, and they decided that they didn't want a family, they just wanted a couple. And so thankfully we didn't end up there. But very, very little positive feedback. And it finally got to a point, I said, look, we've got a child on the way. We've been living out of boxes for nearly the first 2 years of our marriage. And so we are going to unpack everything and put it in its place. And we are going to live like normal people live for just a moment. And the next morning, while I was getting ready to go to work, the phone rang. And it was a pastor that was wanting us to come. And so no sooner had we unpacked everything than we had to repack everything, because within just a few weeks we were on our way to Texas. God opened that door. It's a door, it's a relationship I still cherish to this day. But that was a door that led to another open door, which 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 brought me to Merit Assembly of God, where because of that open door, somebody from the radio station contacted us and said, would you consider doing the 8:30 broadcast and 5 o'clock broadcast on our radio station? We heard you do a funeral. And so I'm a bit spoiled, if you will. When I got married, I had no job, and someone came and was running in the mall. They saw me walking in the mall, and they said, do you still need a job? I'd never applied in their store. They just knew that I needed a job. And that open door led to other employment opportunities, which led to me being at Merit Assembly of God. You see, for the past 30 years, 30-plus years, 31-plus years, God has been in charge of opening doors for me that needed to be open. They didn't always open in the time that I wanted them to open, but they always opened at just the right time. I didn't always understand the process. Sometimes one door would close and I would feel trapped. All of a sudden there would be a door that opened in a different direction that, you know, as I look in the rearview mirror, I see exactly how God was orchestrating events. You see, it's a lot easier to understand what God has done than it is to understand what God is going to do. And so I want to encourage you today that you be persistent, but you also develop this mindset that says, I am going to thank God for every door that he opens. Now, he opens doors for a reason, and it's described right here in verse number 19. He opens doors so that we will go through them. He doesn't open doors so we will just stand there and look at them and say, boy, that sure is a pretty view. He opens doors for you to walk through, because there is a great door of opportunity that opened for Paul. There is also doors of opportunity that he will open for you. You were created for a purpose. You were created not to be afraid of the open door. You were created to walk through the open door. So if you are in a situation right now where you feel like a door has shut but and the other door hasn't opened yet, you need to be preparing yourself. You need to be developing your skills. You need to be honing your abilities to make yourself more marketable. You need to be finding out, what do I need to do with a resume? What do I need to do here? What do I need to do there? You need to be making yourself the best you that you could possibly be. Operate, conduct yourself with a spirit of excellence. If you do not have a job and you have sent out all of the resumes, I ministered to my daughter when she came out of college. Both of my daughters, it took them about 90 days before they were able to find a job. And that's always about 60 days longer than they were hoping for. But it was a really tough economy over the past 10 years or so. And so don't just sit around hoping. You be ready. You be ready. I encourage you, get up every day. Begin to go through your morning routine just like you were going to go to a job. Don't be lounging around and Netflix binging and just going unkept and all of that. Make the most out of every opportunity. Make the most out of every opportunity. Show up. Make phone calls. Follow up. Do what you can. But it recognize that it is God that opens doors and closes doors. And so don't neglect your spiritual life, because he says that I open those doors for you to walk through them with this goal in mind, that I will praise the Lord. I don't just want a job. I want a job that I can go through. And in doing my job, I can bring glory and honor to him. That doesn't mean that everything is a Christian job. I used to work for a major retailer. They didn't realize what they were getting when they hired a preacher. I was pastoring Merit Assembly of God at the time, so I fully understand what it is like to be bivocational. I've sold shoes. I've worked for other retailers, and so they hired me for a Christmas season, and they opened the doors real early that morning, and they put me out there as a greeter, because I kind of have this bubbly, vivacious personality. And I can still remember what I said. And I said, Merry Christmas. Welcome to blah, 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 blah. Have a great shopping experience. Merry Christmas. And after about 15 minutes, they came out and they said, Bob, you can't say Merry Christmas. And so my Merry Christmas, welcome to so-and-so, have a great shopping experience went, Happy Holidays. Welcome. Have a great shopping experience. But during that time that I was there, I got to speak into so many people's lives. I was there for about 6 months. And during that time, I got to live out my faith in front of more people who were not believers than I typically get to do as a pastor. And everybody there, it didn't matter if they were Christian, if they were Jewish, if they were atheist, if they were non-practicing, they just really didn't have everybody there called me Pastor Bob. Everybody knew who I was. And so if you will say, God, I want to thank you for the open doors, and God, as you open those doors, I'm going to walk through them, and I am going to live out my faith in that open door. I'm going to make the most of that opportunity. You're going to bring glory and honor to God. So thank God for open doors. Thank God that he answers prayers. Verse number 21, I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. God is a prayer answering God. Verse number 22, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. A lot of times we focus on verse number 24. Verse 24, in its proper context, has to be linked with verse number 22 and verse number 23. And there it is a messianic reference. It's a messianic prophecy to the way that people were going to respond to Jesus. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And so if you've ever been rejected, thank God men's rejection isn't final. If you've ever been rejected, Jesus knows exactly how you feel. Don't let their rejection be the final declaration over your life. Just as Jesus was rejected and God exalted him and made him the chief cornerstone, other people's rejection may set you up for the exact purpose that God has for you in your life. He has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. God exalting Jesus to the right hand of the Father is a marvelous thing. And so we need to thank him that he is sitting upon the throne. Thankfully, the rejection of men did not hinder the plan of God to put Jesus back on the throne from whence he came. So no matter what you are going through today, you can look up and you can, in the spirit, and you can by faith declare, God, I want to thank you today that you are still on the throne. If you are battling rejection issues, I tell people that I struggled with rejection issues all of my life. And rejection from girls, rejection from football teams, rejection from golf teams, rejection all over the place, rejected in so many different ways. And that can traumatize you. I'm not here to make light of rejection. I'm just here to say that man's rejection doesn't mean that you've been rejected by God. And if there's somebody listening right now, and maybe your spouse just told you that you weren't important to them anymore, I've known that, I'll be honest with you, it makes me really angry when I hear men tell that to their wives. It strikes a very bad chord with me. So please, if you're a guy out there, and it's not just now that I'm a senior pastor. When I was selling shoes, there was a lady and that worked in the department store that we did. She was working there because her husband had traded her in on a younger model, and I'm not saying that to just use the phrase. That was exactly what he did, and I was like, I went to the lady and I said, I am so sorry. I don't even know your husband, but I want to apologize for men who have treated you in a manner that you didn't deserve. That sort of rejection, it's not just something to be brushed off as, oh, well, you win some, you lose some. You need to come to God and say, God, would you heal me of this issue? Okay? And so if you're dealing with those things, you can say, God, I want to thank you that Jesus has become the chief cornerstone. Because he is the chief cornerstone, verse number 24 makes sense. That today, November the 23rd, 2016, this is the day that the Lord has made. It doesn't matter what men will do to me. It doesn't matter which bill is due. It doesn't matter how my body feels. It doesn't matter what is going on any place in the world. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Did you know that you don't have to wait for Thanksgiving to be thankful? You don't have to wait for a national holiday to be glad. You don't have to wait till there's a tremendous victory before you rejoice. All you've got to do is recognize that Jesus has been exalted to the right hand of the Father. Two more things that I want to share with you today to prepare you for this week of Thanksgiving. Verse number 25, save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. In 3 John, verse number 2, it says, above all things, I pray that you will prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So when you read this prayer for prosperity, you've got to realize that that is about more than money. It is about prospering in your soul. That foundational, your spirit man, your relationship with God, your mind, your will, and your emotions, all of those are prospering. When all of those things are being blessed because of the life of God, the life of the Holy Spirit is flowing through you, that the mind of Christ is renewing your mind, your emotions, your human emotions are being subjected to the will of the Father, and you go around rejoicing and all of these things, I want you to know that it is going to change the other areas of your life as well. Sadly, we have taken prosperity and we have defined it, reduced the definition down to dollars and cents, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if I were to ask you today, how many of you want to prosper in your health? How many of you want to prosper in your marriage? How many of you want to prosper in your relationship with your kids? You see, all of those things are more valuable than money. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. My father and I have had many conversations through the years, and some months ago he was saying that throughout his adult life, that whenever he had prayed for a financial blessing, that the way that came was that he had an opportunity for overtime. My dad is a bit of an entrepreneur. He was a pipe fitter, construction worker, hard worker, very strong, very good golfer. But he wasn't afraid to work hard. And so he's traveled to Colorado to work, Oregon to work, Texas to work. He traveled wherever they needed to go in order to make sure that they succeeded financially. And he said, whenever I really needed God to answer a prayer, he always made a way for me to have the opportunity to work extra. And so I don't want you to think that this sending prosperity is that all of a sudden the heavens are going to open up and millions of dollars are just going to fall down out of the sky for you. The Bible clearly says that the way that God recommends us gaining wealth is a little by little, that get-rich-quick schemes are not God's plan. A lot of times that ends up destroying people rather than edifying people. So I want to encourage you that you allow God to prosper you in your spirit, prosper you in your soul, prosper you in your physical well-being, prosper you in your relationships, prosper you at church. Because when you are prospering in all of those things, when you have been faithful there, God says, then I can trust him in this area as well. There are some people that they still have not learned about God's will for finances, and that is this: if you will be faithful in little, you will be faithful in much. Too many people are kicking the can of monetary faithfulness down the road, hoping that there is some ship that is going to come in. And like I tell people, Oklahoma is a landlocked state. There's not an easy way to get a ship to Oklahoma. So your ship coming in there is going to be very limited. But if we will be faithful, God will open up the windows of heaven, and he says, I will give unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give in unto your bosom. So you will find natural means and supernatural means that God will use to make sure that you prosper. When I was in Bible college, I said this prayer: God, I'm not asking you for much. I'm just asking you for enough to meet my needs, my financial needs. That was literally a prayer I prayed. That's pretty much word for word. Not many prayers I remember that I pray word for word, but that's one of them that I did. A short time later, was at Oral Roberts University, and a guest speaker came. I could still name him today. And he said, there are some of you who pray like this, God, I'm not asking you for much. I'm just asking you for enough to meet my needs. And I was like, yes, that's the prayer that I prayed. I was in the balcony at the time, and I heard that, and I said, that's the prayer I prayed. And he said this, that is the most selfish prayer that I can tell you I've ever heard anybody pray. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit has my attention, and he said, God's not just calling you to exist and survive financially. He's calling you to believe him, to bless you, so that you will be able to be a blessing to other people. And I want you to know, it changed the way that I believed. And now it is not just about whether my needs are met, but what can I do to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Today, you need to say, God, would you make me faithful at whatever level I'm at, and thankful at whatever level that I'm at, so that I can pray this prayer, God, send prosperity. I want to tell you, it may not be a money problem. It may be a heart problem. And part of the solution for that is say, God, I'm so thankful that I can trust you, not only with my eternity, but I can trust you with my here and now. My mindset, my wife's mindset, our church mindset is this: we can't afford not to give. We can't afford not to give. Let me take you to one last point. It's in verse number 29. It's also in verse number 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. That was verse 1, verse number 29. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. It's the exact same verse. It's the same at the beginning as it is at the end. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Today at the beginning of the day, make sure that it is the same at the end of the day. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. When things are going well, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. When life is challenging, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Whatever you are going through, and every stage in between, make sure that you keep a thankful heart. Several years ago, I preached a message, and it was this: make sure that when you bring your praise, you bring it with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, because God is worthy of praise and thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. You are a recipient of his great mercy today. Make sure that you have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@Hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
And love mercy.